So in order to help my Chinese students realize the importance of Thoreau, I prepared a small PowerPoint presentation. And for the first slide, I showed a beautiful scene of Walden Pond in the autumn. And it shows a placid lake and all the fall New England colors in their autumnal splendor. And of course, when I put that slide on, I heard a lot of students in the back go, "Whoa!" Because they've never seen, or apparently they rarely ever see, scenes from New England. And on my next slide, I had a picture of, or it was actually a charcoal drawing, or possibly a painting of some sort, of Queen Victoria in her older years. You know, and Thoreau was writing, he was born in 1817, died in 1862. So this is the Victorian age he's writing in. And it's interesting because in the British Empire and America both refer to this time as the Victorian era, which roughly corresponds to the reign of the Queen of Britain at that time, between 1837 and 1901. I also wanted to show students that about what's going on in the world at this time. It's not just about America and the UK or the British Empire. And also during this time, Karl Marx is writing his Communist Manifesto in 1848. And of course, all the students are well versed in the Communist Manifesto, so they know that. And they also know a little bit about their own history. The Taiping Rebellion took place in China between 1850 and 1864. Now it's interesting that there are two major wars happen in between two of Thoreau's greatest works. He's writing in a time between the Mexican-American War in the late 1840s and the American Civil War in the early 1860s. And this is important because he has a lot to say and he has many opinions about these two wars and the context and the causes of these wars, which we'll go into later. I also thought it was interesting that when I drew a picture or a map of the United States to kind of illustrate what was going on in America at this time and to help students see that Concord, Massachusetts, where Thoreau lived, was right outside of Boston, as I started naming some of the historical events, the students were nodding their heads and actually telling me what it was all about before I could explain. For instance, when I wrote about Boston, some of the students in the front row said, "Oh, the Boston Tea Party." And when I drew a squiggly little line in the middle of America that roughly bisects the western United States from the eastern United States, they all knew I was referring to the Mississippi River, where Huckleberry Finn took place, and they all were keen to that. And then when I started talking about the American Civil War, some students actually knew it started in 1861 and ended in 1865. They knew these dates very well. Later, I'd have lunch with a student, and she told me that, you know, in America, she knows that Chinese history and Asian culture classes are considered to be electives in classrooms across America, but in China, it is mandatory that they receive and study the history of the United States. So these terms, these dates, and these events, these major events in American history, are very well known to Chinese students. And when I talked about the Civil War, I talked about, you know, the war between the states, you know, the industrial North versus the agrarian South, and there was a war to end slavery, but there were also economic reasons behind the war, and they all knew this. Furthermore, I also kind of connected it to them because they love the novel Gone with the Wind. For many Asians, Gone with the Wind is the seminal work in Western literature. It is the greatest novel ever written as far as many Asians are concerned. Some Asians even think that it's a true story. So when I mentioned the Civil War, I said this is a time when Gone with the Wind took place. And I got a lot of acknowledgement for that. So then I talked a little bit about Thoreau. You know, he was born in 1817, died in 1862. And I have a slide up there. It has a picture of Harvard. also with its pillars and beautiful architecture amidst the autumnal splendor of New England. And I say that Thoreau's father, he was a pencil maker. And I asked the class, so was Thoreau a rich person? And there's a chorus of, no, no, he's not rich, he's very poor. And then I said, you know, Thoreau was an English major. Like everybody in this classroom, he was an English major, but he went to Harvard. What do you think of that? And everybody was wondering about this, and hopefully they have the idea that you don't have to be rich to go to Harvard. Yes, it helps. And you don't have to be rich to go to Yale or Oxford or Cambridge. But in Western society, if you have the merit, if you have the grades and the drive and determination, you can go to Harvard. And Thoreau is just one case in point. He was a very smart man. He went to Harvard, where he studied the classics and became an English major. So I told the class that in a way, by reading Thoreau, they are getting a Harvard education. And I got a lot of chuckles from that. So Thoreau worked as a surveyor, which he did. He was working in nature, which he loved. And he also was a member of a kind of secret society. China has a lot of secret societies, at least in the past it did. It may still have, but a lot of secret societies were formed in the historical context to rebel against government and rebel against the emperors back in their days. So I told them about this secret society in America called the Underground Railroad. And I use that to kind of segue into what a metaphor is. But the Underground Railroad, as we all know, is not really like a subway, but it's a secret society of abolitionists or people who wanted to free the slaves, and they smuggled slaves north, out of the South, into freedom in the North, and sometimes even into Canada. So Thoreau is known for two great works. He wrote Civil Disobedience in 1849 and Walden in 1854. I'll talk about civil disobedience in a minute, but right now, just talking about Walden, for their homework assignment, they had to read an essay from Walden called Reading, and we'll be talking about reading shortly. But Walden is essentially a collection of essays that Thoreau created and wrote from his days spent at Walden Pond, communing with nature. It was his his declaration of self-independence. And he had many essays, philosophical essays on life and learning and what it means to live the good life and how important nature is. For many writers that we will be studying in this course, Thoreau and this book Walden are actually quite influential. But another book is influential another way, Civil Disobedience. So I have a slide here that Thoreau refused to pay his taxes and he went to jail. Why? And going to the next slide, I have a slide that has a Monopoly, the famous Monopoly stop that says in jail or just visiting. It has a picture of Thoreau behind bars in jail. There is a section that introduces Thoreau's essay, and then there's a section called Remarks. And apparently, one way that my literature class is different from Chinese English literature classes is that the students in the Chinese class would have to memorize the remarks and the introduction. They would be told what to think and how to think about it all, and they're actually tested on this, on what to think. I'm doing the opposite. I'm trying to teach them how to think, and that what they think is important, not what I think. So I just try to present the facts and ask the questions. So the Chinese anthology, the government issue anthology that has Thoreau, talks about Thoreau being poor and going to jail because he refused to pay his taxes, and that this event is insignificant. So I ask the question, was this event insignificant? First of all, he went to jail, yes, and he was poor. And even though he was poor and he refused to pay his taxes, that is kind of insignificant in itself because, well, he's not giving much money to the government. But this one night in jail inspired him to write Civil Disobedience, which is basically his philosophy on why he would not pay taxes to a government that supported war with Mexico, and why he would not pay taxes to a government that supported slavery. Anyway, he got out of jail. I think one of his neighbors maybe felt sorry for him and bailed him out, and that was that. And then he went back to Walden and kept on writing about nature and communing with nature. But this example of civil disobedience and the work that was created from it influenced many extraordinary people, including Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, and many, many others in many other countries and cultures. So now I have a slide that has a picture of the woods, the New England woods, and a trail leading off into the behind some trees, and a slide that says, "So why did Thoreau go into the woods?" That's a good question. Many students wonder, why go into the woods? And this is a culture point. When Westerners come to China, and especially Americans and Europeans and the British, we're always looking to go hiking or mountain climbing or camping. We always ask Chinese people, is there a park nearby? And we're always worried about the environment. And I say, why is this? So for many Chinese, this is kind of weird. And I explain that for a lot of us, there's a tradition of getting away from the hustle and bustle, to get away from your job and the city and the pollution. And some of them in the class said, far from the maddening crowd. Apparently they read this prior to my class. And so they understood that going into the woods can be beneficial. Interestingly, now it's the 21st century, many, many years since Thoreau first wrote about going into the woods, and now many of us are realizing, researchers are realizing, that nature is beneficial, it's therapeutic, and that studies have shown that people who spend time in nature or just take some time to themselves in a green space, they could recharge their learning abilities, their cognition. It could help prevent ADHD and other attention deficit issues. So why did Thoreau go into the woods? Thoreau had his own ideas on why he went into the woods. And he went into the woods because, and I quote, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I did not wish to live what was not life. Living is so dear. Nor did I wish to practice resignation, unless it was quite necessary. I wanted to live deep and suck out all the marrow of life, to live so sturdily and Spartan-like as to put to rout all that was not life, to cut a broad swath and shave close, to drive life into a corner and reduce it to its lowest terms. And if it proved to be mean, why then to get the whole and genuine meanness of it and publish its meanness to the world? Or if it were sublime, to know it by experience and be able to give a true account of it in my next excursion." So after that, the class was just thoroughly confused that this is basically just three sentences right there. Only three sentences. And I asked the class, "Can you decipher this? What is he saying in these three sentences?" And of course, most of my classes were pretty silent on that question. But this is basically Thoreau saying, seize the day, carpe diem, because we are all food for worms, and we have to live. If we want to make life meaningful, we have to seize the day, live in the here and the now. Yes, the future is important, but it's important that we don't let some phantom in the future drive us crazy. We should not be worrying about the final exam today when we should focus on what we're learning today. So that said, one student, I was very impressed by this, asked, one of her questions was, you know, if Thoreau is all about simplifying life and says simplify, 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 why is his prose so difficult to read? Why is his prose so difficult and complicated? And that was a great question. I had never thought of such a question before. I didn't anticipate this. but it launched a whole discussion on philosophy and Thoreau's ideas on the classics. So in the course of the next 10 minutes, we turn this one little question into a miniature lesson on what it was like to live back in the 1850s. And little by little, the class gave their own answers to this question. And little by little, more questions were asked. And the whole class constructed an answer. And we all came to the conclusion that back in the day, back in the days of Thoreau, back in 1850, people had more free time. They did not have toys and video games. They did not have cars. And they weren't making a lot of money. So life was very uncomplicated back then. Although Thoreau was writing at a time when things were starting to get complicated. A lot of people were moving into the cities. A lot of people were moving out of the farms and into the cities to find factory jobs. Kind of like what's happening now in China. I got a lot of raised eyebrows with this. So we came to the conclusion that perhaps Thoreau wanted his readers to work hard at deciphering his text. He wanted them to have the free time in order to really enjoy Thoreau, in order to really get any meaning out of his text. You have to have the free time. You have to have the drive and the determination to suck the marrow out of life. You have to have a simple lifestyle in order to read his work and get more meaning out of it. If you're busy, if you're working hard every day, all day, trying to make more money than you really need, or you have a lot of toys and complications to manage throughout your life, and then all you have time to do when you get home from work is watch a couple hours of TV because you're so exhausted, you're certainly not going to be able to read and enjoy Thoreau. And the class understood this. So Thoreau died in 1862 at the age of 44. So it's a good thing that he seized the day. He had a very young life. He died at a young age. And he contracted a, legend has it, he got a bad cold while counting tree rings in December of 1860. And died of tuberculosis soon thereafter, a couple years later. I asked the students what's important about this date. Knowing what we now know about Thoreau, that he hated slavery, he thought slavery was an evil thing, that he refused to pay taxes to the government that supported slavery, and we know that the Civil War began in 1861, ended in 1865, what was important or interesting or perhaps even unfortunate or tragic about Thoreau dying in 1862? I asked this from all my classes, and a couple students out of my five literature classes were able to answer this, that he died right after the Civil War started, and unfortunately he never actually got to see the slaves that he cared about ever become free.